Let me explain just briefly. What we're listening to is a tape recording of Colonel Glenn in the first moments of his flight. Right now, he should have passed the Canary Islands. He should be over Africa. Let's go back to the tape.
All systems go, seven. Oxygen 78100. Cabin pressure holding steady at 5.8. Amps is 2.6. All systems are go.
Roger. 20 seconds to Seco.
Roger.
Flight path looks very good. 10 seconds. Flight path still looks good.
Roger. Seco. Buzzer grates fired. Okay.
Roger. Stand by.
Roger. 0G and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Roger. Turnaround has started.
Capsule turning around, and I could see the booster during turnaround just a couple of hundred yards behind me. It was beautiful.
Roger, seven, you have a go, at least seven orbits.
Roger, understand go for at least seven orbits. Suspendship seven, I can see clear back a big cloud pattern way back across toward the Cape. Beautiful sight.
Roger, still reading you loud and clear. Next transmission, Bermuda.
Well, that was Colonel John Glenn, the Mercury astronaut, in the first 6 minutes of his flight from Cape Canaveral. And as you heard, he said all systems were go. He said he was feeling fine. He obviously had come through the period of extreme gravity pressure without any trouble at all. He went up to 8 times the force of gravity and then went back rapidly to zero gravity, which is where he is right now. And at the moment, to locate him, he has passed the Canary Islands. He should be over the African continent. And in a few minutes, he should be within range of the tracking station at Kano, Nigeria. That tape that you heard was the tape that was made, the conversation between Glenn and Capcom here at the Cape. Capcom is short for Capsule Communicator. And the voice of Capcom was that of Commander Alan B. Shepard, who, of course, made this country's first suborbital flight back in May of 1961. He is acting today as technical advisor, and he is at the Cape. Shepard was the first American in space. He was followed by astronaut Virgil Gus Grissom a few weeks later. The other astronauts are all on station today at various points around the world. The backup pilot, Lieutenant Commander Malcolm Scott Carpenter, is here at the Cape. He's in the blockhouse. He's the first astronaut of the second group in the pilot situation. Commander Alan Shepard is, as we said, the Capcom at Cape Canaveral. Astronaut Walter M. Sherrod, Jr. is located at Arguello, Point Arguello, California. He will be the Capcom there. Arguello is one of the command stations on the Mercury tracking network. Astronaut L. Gordon Cooper, Jr. is at the tracking station in Mouché, Australia. That's another of the command stations. At Bermuda was astronaut Virgil Gus Grissom, who was the second American in space, and he had responsibility for monitoring the launch, the insertion into orbit, and he will also monitor the landing and recovery from the Bermuda station. And astronaut Donald K. Deke Slayton is performing spacecraft checkout. His job now is over. Well, we've gone through the first extremely tense, extremely exciting, and historic 21 minutes of this country's first manned orbital flight. Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn, United States Marine Corps, is in orbit. He's been on the way now for 22 minutes. And here's the very latest from Mercury Control and the Project Mercury spokesman, Colonel Powers. Go ahead, Shorty Powers and Mercury Control.
This is Mercury Control. While you were listening to the tape of John Glenn's communications with the Capcom, Alan Shepard here in the control center, the Friendship 7 spacecraft has passed on its orbital track, has now passed over the Canaries, and is about to establish contact with our tracking station at Kano in Africa. As it passed in the vicinity of the Canaries, John Glenn reported I am very comfortable. All systems are okay. He reported that the horizon was a brilliant blue and that he had the canaries in sight out through his window. He also said he had a beautiful view of the African coast and that part of the canaries were obscured by clouds. The flight appears at this time to be proceeding as planned. Friendship 7 is in orbit, passing in the vicinity of Kano, Africa at this time. This is Mercury Control.
Well, Kano is located in Nigeria, and that is one of the stations on the tracking network. We're going to pause now for the benefit of our stations on the CBS radio network. This is Dallas Thompson. We'll be back with our coverage of America's first orbital flight from Cape Canaveral in just a minute.
This is the CBS radio network.
Dallas Thompson reporting from CBS News headquarters in Cape Canaveral, where 25 minutes ago, Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn was launched into orbit around the world. At the moment, Colonel Glenn is traveling over the continent of Africa, traveling at 17,500 miles an hour. And the apogee, that is the high point, is about 160 miles, according to Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman. The low point, the perigee, about 100 miles. We'll be back in a moment to Man in Orbit, this history-making event brought to you by Rambler. Right now, a word from Ed Herlihy.
Rambler quality. What does it mean to you? In the case of brakes, it can make all the difference in the world. Here are the facts. Except for Cadillac, Rambler is the only American car to offer you the positive safety of double safety brakes with tandem master cylinders and two separate hydraulic systems, one for front wheels and the other for rear wheels. Even if one should fail, the other will bring you to a safe, sure stop. Brake failure is virtually impossible with Rambler double safety brakes. One day, all cars may have brakes like these. They're yours today in Rambler, standard on all models at no extra cost. Also standard in Rambler, self-adjusting brakes with bonded brake linings. Test drive the new Rambler soon. With Rambler sales at an all-time high, your Rambler dealer is prepared to offer special Rambler savings. See your Rambler dealer about his weekend special deal. Now, back to Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
It was exactly 26 minutes ago that Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn was launched from Cape Canaveral on this country's first manned orbital space flight. And he's on his way. Everything appears to be normal. The flight is following the advanced program almost exactly. Just a few small differences. The high point of the flight is 160 miles instead of 150 miles, but the low point, as forecast, was about 100 miles. He's now within control of the Kano, Nigeria tracking station, which will have him in its control for about 6 minutes. And as this flight continues, we're going to switch back now from CBS News headquarters here at Cape Canaveral to Mercury Control Center, where the flight is being directed and supervised. And here once again is the voice of Lieutenant Colonel John Shorty Powers. Well, this is CBS News at Cape Canaveral. We're still waiting to hear the word from Colonel Powers, who should have started 15 seconds ago, but there's understandable excitement, we're quite sure, in the Mercury Control Center at the moment. And Colonel Powers, who was to have given us an announcement, has not yet been heard from. Colonel Glenn, still traveling eastward across the continent of Africa, and before too long, he should be out over the eastern side of the African continent, heading out over the Indian Ocean. Before he does that, he will cross in the vicinity of the island of Zanzibar, which is located off the eastern coast of Africa. And after that, he will cross the Indian Ocean and will be picked up by the tracking stations in Australia. There actually are three of them, at Mushay, at Perth, and at Woomera. Mushay and Perth on the Australian west coast. Woomera, which is the British Commonwealth test center for this sort of thing, approximately in the lower middle of the Australian subcontinent. Woomera is where the British have tested their atomic bomb and where further tests probably will be conducted before too long. It will be dark in Australia when Colonel Glenn arrives over the subcontinent, because in his orbital flight, which will last, as Colonel Powers told us, about 89 minutes, he will cross from daylight to dark once in each orbit. So it'll be dark, or at least dusk, as he arrives over Australia, and the people of the city of Perth will be turning their lights on. That was their advanced plan to give him a warm hello. And now let's hear from Colonel Powers.
This is Mercury Control. The Friendship spacecraft, Friendship 7, is in orbit with John Glenn at the controls. Contact was made with our tracking station in Kano at 9 minutes after 10 Eastern Standard Time. At the time of engine cutoff, the Atlas launch vehicle was approximately 503 statute miles away from its launch pad at Cape Canaveral. It was at an altitude of 100 miles. It was traveling at a speed of 17,530 miles. So the orbital details are the perigee, or low point, about 100 miles, the apogee, or high point, about 160 miles. The speed of the Friendship 7 spacecraft is now 17,545 miles per hour. All information we have as of this time indicates the mission is proceeding as planned. This is Mercury Control.
Recorded. That was Colonel Powers giving us the latest, and he tells us now that the spacecraft is traveling at 17,545 miles per hour, 45 miles an hour faster than was originally expected. Reverend Frank Irwin, who is the minister of the Glenn family back in Arlington, Virginia, has been talking to a CBS News correspondent outside the Glenn home. So we're going to switch now to Arlington. Dave Derry reporting.
Well, now, in particular, when the vehicle, the space vehicle, lifted off the pad, what was the feeling inside?
Inside myself?
Inside both you and the house.
Of course, I can't describe their feelings. All I can know is what appeared to be, but we were quiet. This is was not a time to talk, and everyone had their own thoughts. And in fact, I got the feeling myself that we really wished that even the announcers on the television perhaps could stop talking, because it was a time of quiet, joyous anticipation. And as everything went so beautifully and right on schedule as it was described, there was a feeling of real confidence and extreme gratitude and hope.
This is CBS News at the Glenn home in Arlington, Virginia.
That was Dave Derry in a tape-recorded interview with the Reverend Frank Irwin, in an interview recorded immediately after liftoff. And now we're going to get further words from Colonel Glenn himself, and here they are.
Low frequency is on. Rescue aids are on automatic. Jettison tower and step capsule lights are out. The pressure regulator is still in the in position. Launch control is on. Sequence panel positions are normal except landing bag is off. Are you receiving? Over.
Roger, I understand. We have telemetry solid.
Roger, you have telemetry solid.
This is Colonel Glenn talking to the Canary Island tracking station. We'll go back to this tape now.
0098. I understand automatic fuel is 9098. So that is affirmative attitude. Roll 0 yaw, 2 degrees right, pitch 33 degrees. Rates are all indicating 0. I am on ASCS at present time. The clock is still set for time to retrograde time of 04 plus 32 plus 28. I have a retrograde times okay from Bermuda. Cabin pressure holding steady at 5.7. Cabin air 9.0. Relative humidity 3.0. Coolant quantity is 6.8. Suit environment is 6.5. Cabin pressure, suit pressure is indicating 5.8. Steam temperature 6.0 on the suit. I am very comfortable, however, I don't want to turn it down just yet.
That was a portion of a tape that John Glenn made talking with the Canary Island tracking station. That tape was...
transmitted back here to the Mercury Control Center.
I was listening just for a moment to Colonel Powers. He says that tape was recorded at the Canary Islands and then transmitted to Bermuda and from there back to Cape Canaveral.
In contact with our tracking station at Zanzibar. Contact was made at 1-8 after the hour, 10:18 Eastern Standard Time. Stand by now for the tape.
Colonel Power says that Glenn is now in contact with Zanzibar off the eastern coast of Africa, and he is now going to play us some of the conversation between Glenn and the Zanzibar tracking station. Let's listen and see if we get this tape. Still standing by here at CBS News in Cape Canaveral for the recording of Glenn's voice as he... established contact with the tracking station in Zanzibar. Here it is.
Rescue aids are on automatic. Jettison power and SEP capsule lights are out. The pressure regulator is still in the in position. Launch control is on. Sequence panel positions are normal except landing bag is off. Are you receiving? Over.
Roger. I understand. We have telemetry solid.
Roger. You have telemetry solid.
Between Glenn and the tracking station in the Canary Islands, not in Zanzibar. But by this time, he should be past Zanzibar. Zanzibar is that island located just off the east coast of the African continent, and he should be passing about 120 miles or so north of the northern tip of the island of Madagascar, which is now the Malagasy Republic, inside the French Community of Nations. And the next tracking station after Zanzibar will be the Indian Ocean ship. The Indian Ocean ship will be taking part in an interesting experiment. They will launch a balloon, and they will try to have flares fired from the balloon at an altitude of 30,000 feet, hoping that Colonel Glenn will be able to see those flares and report them. The time now, T plus 37 minutes. Colonel Glenn has been on his way from Cape Canaveral for 37 minutes. And the orbital flight at the moment appears to be just about perfect, traveling at 17,545 miles an hour at an altitude varying between 100 and 160 miles above the surface of the Earth. Now, before we get some further reports on the progress of Glenn's flight, we're going to pause now for a word from Rambler and Ed Herlihy.
Rust, the silent scourge of automobile bodies. It starts where you can't see it, inside the body panels and girders. As yet, there is no known way to keep moisture from forming in these areas. But to keep this moisture from causing rust and corrosion, Rambler goes to extra lengths that no other car manufacturer does. Every Rambler body gets exclusive deep-dip rust-proofing. The body is immersed, right up to the roof, in a huge 40-foot-long tank of rust-proofing primer paint. When it comes out, over 15 pounds of rust-proofing chemicals coat the steel. This is more rust-proofing than any other American car gets. Rambler literally spills more than others use. Deep-dip rust-proofing, another reason why Rambler's sales are at an all-time high. This coming weekend, your Rambler dealer is offering a weekend special deal. It's a special money-saving opportunity to own a new 62 Rambler. Ask your Rambler dealer about his weekend special deal.
Once again, here's Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
And the latest word from Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, is that Colonel Glenn is still in excellent condition. Here is Colonel Powers.
Seventh flight. The spacecraft is approaching the Indian Ocean ship. All systems indicate go at this time. This is Mercury Control.
Colonel Powers reported a moment ago that Glenn said that he was feeling in excellent condition, and he had reported seeing a beautiful view of the horizon. He said the horizon was a bright blue. And now he is going out over the Indian Ocean. He should be reaching the vicinity of the Indian Ocean ship within a minute and a half. And Glenn is reported eating. He has a certain amount of food on board, about 3,000 calories worth of food, in small tubes, which he puts in his mouth and eats that way. One of the questions that the National Space Agency wants to answer on this flight is how a man in a weightless condition will be able to absorb and digest food. And Colonel Glenn has now embarked on that experiment, one of the many. The most important question of all, of course, is how he will be able to withstand prolonged weightlessness. If he goes three full orbits, he will have been weightless approximately 54 times as long as any other American has ever been. Speaking of the view, which we were a moment ago, Colonel Glenn is now having a view the like of which only two other men in the history of the world have had before. And they, of course, were Yuri Gagarin and German Titov in their orbital flights, both Gagarin and Titov of Soviet Russia. And also, of course, Alan Shepard and Virgil Grissom in their suborbital flights. What sort of view is it? Well, the answer came to us from a lady doctor with an impressive title, Chief of the Astronomy and Astrophysics Programs of the Office of Space Flight Programs of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Her name is much shorter, Nancy G. Roman. Dr. Roman told us what Glenn can expect to see in orbit.
Without the atmosphere, the stars will look much brighter and much clearer, and they probably will look rather small at it. They won't twinkle the way they do on the surface of the Earth. He should see most of the planets, although they are very close to the sun at the present time, and the inner ones may be lost in the sun. It's rather a unique time. There's only something like four times this century when all five of the major planets are very near the sun and all essentially lined up. This will be a very interesting scene if he can see close enough to the sun. He may see the northern lights or the aurora. These are the main sorts of things he'll see, of course. And then he'll see the clouds of the Earth. They look very pretty from above, as we know they look from a jet plane. I think that the average astronomer will envy him his view very much.
Well, that was Dr. Nancy Roman. And, of course, Colonel Glenn is probably seeing all those sights, but we haven't had time yet to get a detailed report from him on what he is seeing. He's out over the Indian Ocean right now. He should be passing in the vicinity of the Indian Ocean ship. No word yet on whether the ship was able to launch those flares, which they hoped that Colonel Glenn would see. The flares were set to go off at an altitude of about 30,000 feet. Still out over the Indian Ocean, traveling at 17,545 miles an hour. Now we're going to switch again from our CBS News headquarters at Cape Canaveral to the Voice of America headquarters in Washington. Neil Strauser reporting.
It's a very interesting exercise here today in what you might call goldfish bowl reporting, setting an example for the world to hear on open reporting in the style of a democracy. The Voice of America is broadcasting in English day long, broadcasting in some 37 foreign languages as well at peak listening hours around the world. And of course, many of those languages are aimed behind the Iron Curtain. And the big question is, are the Russians allowing the news of our space attempt, success or failure, success as it is now we know, to go through to the Russians? And we've just had a report from a monitoring coordinator who's listening in on shortwave to our first Russian language broadcast going out. It went out just about half an hour ago, listening also to the Russian jamming. And our report is the Russians did not jam that part of the newscast which told of the successful liftoff and the successful going into orbit of John Glenn. They began jamming again partway through an item on the Berlin air corridors. So the Soviet people do know that we too can succeed in space. This is CBS News at the Voice of America in Washington.
And we'll be going back to the Voice of America as this flight progresses. Now we're going to give you the latest from Mercury Control on the progress of Colonel Glenn's orbital flight. Here's the latest report from Colonel Shorty Powers.
This is Mercury Control. The Friendship 7 spacecraft with astronaut John Glenn at the controls is flying high over the Indian Ocean at this time. He made initial contact with the Indian Ocean ship at 28 minutes after the hour, 10:28 Eastern Standard Time. All of our information here at this time indicates the flight is proceeding normally. All of our contacts with the pilot indicate that he is feeling fine. Our flight surgeon here in the control center, looking at data fed in from the control network, indicates the pilot is in a completely normal situation and proceeding in an excellent condition. This is Mercury Control with the Friendship 7 over the Indian Ocean ship at this time.
While Colonel Glenn is flying over the Indian Ocean, he'll be maintaining voice communication and telemetry contact with the Indian Ocean ship. After that, he'll be heading for the coastline of Australia. Now, we're going to pause again briefly for the benefit of our stations around the CBS radio network. This is Dallas Townsend. We'll be back with our coverage of America's first orbital flight from Cape Canaveral in just a minute.
This is the CBS radio network.